When the British armies came from across the bounding main to attack our native shores in their sailing ships of war to establish tyranny by the orders of a tyrant king. Paul Revere cried his alarms and the people took up arms and they fired up their guns and the greens in Lexington. Soon the battles would be won and the bells of liberty would ring. Those men who fought to keep us free were not afraid to die. They drew the strength and courage from his power upon high and cried this battle cry, no king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel.
And we are back once again, and it is October 19th, 2024, and I believe that I've got the men on the line connected up now. It looks like good morning, Tim.
Good morning.
And good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
And good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
And, Paul, why don't you start us off with a word of prayer this morning, if you would, please.
Our Heavenly Father, we come to the throne of God on behalf of this ministry, Lord, and that we make this broadcast very productive, very encouraging to people, Lord. There's a lot of appears to be bad news, Lord, but it's good news, Lord, because Babylon's falling, and we need to encourage people. We need to be encouraged. We need to lean on each other, and that's happening before our very eyes. That's the good thing of these trials, Lord, that we come together and we come back to you. We are like the prodigal son. We've been away from you for a while as a nation, but it is much better and under your umbrella. And we pray that this broadcast will be an uplifting thing to people and to ourselves, Lord. And there's a lot of bad news out there, Lord, but the gospel is the good news. We can never forget that. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Paul. Well, and I'd be like you said, I think that there is a lot of good news and a lot of things that are happening, and I'm excited about things. There's a lot of people out there that, concerning this election, they're saying that, if I've heard it more this week than I have in a long time. But, if Trump doesn't get in, we're just lost. We're gone. We're screwed. Everything, what's been being said. And, I encourage people that, our God is still in control. And, I don't want people to lose faith or put all their faith in a presidential election. We've seen how these things have been stolen, lied about, cheated in the past. And, at the same time as, encourage people, we pray for godly leaders. We pray for the right people to get into office. We hope and we pray for those things, and we expect it to happen. But, like Paul always said, cursed is he that trusteth in man. And, we've got to, continue to trust the Heavenly Father.
Amen.
And absolutely. I'm encouraged by. I've seen a lot of things. I guess I need to gather my thoughts a little bit. But some of the things that I've seen this week, I've seen people that I'm encouraged by are people that are coming to Christ. Had a conversation with a man this a couple days ago. Came over to the shop and we had a really good talk. We talked about the things that were going on in the world. We talked about politics. We talked about this. We talked about how to become a Christian and different aspects of Christianity. And it was a lot of stuff that he hadn't heard before. And it was encouraging to him. And, it was a stimulating thought. But he was asking questions and he was interested about it. And it was something that was, important to him and into his life. And it was a new thing for him. And I was encouraged by that. Had another man from Jackson Hole, Wyoming that called me this week. And he was going through some hard times. He had some personal things that were in his life that a marriage that wasn't going real well, actually going pretty bad. But he was seeking help and seeking guidance and trying to get closer to God. And, you know, encouraged by that. There's a lot of people that I see a lot of hard, different kinds of hardship that are bringing people closer to God. And anytime you see that, that is a good thing.
Jason, well, anytime your comfort zone is good, you're going to go with it. You know, when things are easy, you know, adversity is what brings us back to God. And, you know, if your wife falls away or whatever like that, that gets you right to the core. And then we all know where to turn, really, but we've got so many prop-ups. You know, Washington, D.C.'s handing out money and everything like that. That's actually a false god. They have nothing to give, and they're leading us right down the bloody path. So adversity has the good for us. I mean, you got to rejoice always.
Amen.
Jason, you nailed it. You nailed it, Jason, in saying that, in telling this man aspects of Christianity that he hasn't heard, because true Christianity has been so misrepresented in this land. It's been put out, and the men, you know, the men don't want anything to do with it, the real men, but you know, it's the false Christianity that's been put out. So when they finally meet someone like this guy, heard from you, hey, listen, this is, you know, this is who Jesus Christ really is, not was, but is. And this is, you know, this is what Christianity really entails. Well, that's appealing. And like you said, Paul, it's the more, you know, the more storms, the more bad economy, the more bad elections, all those things. People see that those things come and go, but they can have hope in Christ, and it's just a shame that the Christianity's been misrepresented. But when you put the real truth out there, like you did one on one, Jason, that makes a difference. It does, and that's for all of us. Not just on the ministry, but all of the remnant to do that, to be able to present the true Christ and the true hope in times of trouble, for sure.
Well, in this week, earlier this week, I had some friends that traveled quite a distance to come and attend to the LaPorte Church of Christ. And we were talking about things. And we, one of the things that we talked about then and that got brought up, and it's been brought up several times, and anybody that's listened to me very long on the radio knows that, you know, I'm one that don't back the blue. And, you know, I've said it for a long time. And I was talking with this person, and they were telling me, you know, we've done it to ourselves. And that... You know, that statement has really rung true, and we were talking about different things, and then about the law enforcement and things that have happened over the years, and things that are happened. And, you know, and then I was thinking about it later on, and it's, you know, we've done it to ourselves as Christians, you know, and he wasn't talking about it individually about what he has done, and this person's in law enforcement, but as a whole, he was talking about how they've, you know, done it to themselves. And I've got a lot of respect for that. And later on, I was thinking about it and how it's like how we have done it to ourselves as Christians as a whole. Now, I don't want to put this ministry into that, you know, group. But as Christians, we've done it to ourselves, and we've given ourselves a bad name. So, I mean, it's, you know, if you use Christianity as a blanket term for churches, I wouldn't want to have anything to do with it. And it's the same thing with, you know, we used to call ourselves the identity movement, and the identity movement, you know, we did it to ourselves. It's if you look at that as a whole. The identity movement has got a bad name. And I remember Pastor Peters, and I got to look up this message and get it out. And I believe the title was We Are Not Gay, We Are Not Cannibals, We Are Not Identity. And it talked about how the terminology of these things had changed and how identity was not what it used to be. And I think that there's a lot to that. You know, we talk about, people ask, are you a Christian? Well, I mean, are you a Christian? You really got to define what your version of Christianity is. Are you baptized, a believer in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Have you made a public confession that he is your Lord and Savior? You know, are you one of those type of Christians, or are you a Christian that, you know, it's an outward sign of an inward feeling? Or, you know, have you been dry cleaned? Or, I mean, there's a lot of different things. I mean, there's neutered Christians, there's not neutered Christians. There's people that have been in these, you know, neutering bins for a long time, called churches. Are you in one of those, or are you not in one of those? I mean, Christianity as a whole, you can't just call it Christianity, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, it's a pretty good job. Term doesn't cover it. Yeah, exactly. I think that I think also that what we see is, and we talk about it a lot of times, but sometimes for we're the definition of our terms or the affirmation of our terms, and it is, you know, that what we fear comes upon us. I mean, we know that, but then we read Psalms 91, and he says that, you know, thousands shall fall at their side, 10,000 at their right hand, but it won't come nigh to thee. The pestilence, you know, the darkness, you know, the destruction. I think I got those verses reversed. You know, the destruction that wasteth at noonday. But anyways, the point I'm trying to make is that there is a massive correction coming from God the Father. I mean, it's on its way. It's already in play. And the thing is when you affirm yourself to God, what you fear comes upon you comes into play from the standpoint that I fear God and I'd like to have him come upon me. But that correction is going to fall upon those other folks who seek to be outside God's will and way. And it doesn't really matter what their vocabulary is or what their definitions are, you know, at the end of the day, the judgment's going to clear that all up as far as God has his own terminology. So we try to place ourselves and our beliefs and our fear and our efforts into, you know, godly kingdoms and godly ways, and that reaps us the benefit of that Psalms 91. It's not coming upon us, you know, you guys. And we are reaching out and trying to expose, trying to condemn the wickedness and the spiritual wickedness in those places that is undoing, and trying to redefine, trying to steal and destroy and everything else. So there's just that whole thought process between body, mind, and soul there that it works to our benefit, but only if we get God, ourselves plugged into God's power the right way.
I was reading one of Colonel Moore's books a while back, and the point was making, you know, we like to tell everybody about identity, but the problem is we've got to meet a person where they're at, and they ain't ready for it. There's so many basics before we even get to that. You know, once you know that, it's a whole different world, and we want everybody to know that. But to get there, I got to look back at my own life, how many years it took me to get where I am. And, you know, I did that. You feed my sheep. You got to feed my sheep. You got to listen. You got to ask and, you know, supply them. And don't give them the whole gospel and shove it down their throat. Because when they change the subject, it's time for you to shut up because they're digesting it. And people want to, you know, I say, oh, just keep throwing up. You do things God's way. You wouldn't have all this trouble and crap like that. But you got to meet a person where they're at. And that's the whole thing. What's so neat about, you know, these guys coming out of the woodwork that are starting to ask these kind of questions, you know, like I did 40 years ago, I was asking questions. And, you know, but the thing of it is, we've got to meet them in basic Christianity, you know, baptism for the remission of sin. And then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and you'll start asking this kind of stuff. It's just so simple. And we make it complicated because, you know, when, you know, with much knowledge comes much grief, you know, and And that's the problem we have. When we get knowledge, we start looking at our people around us, and it causes a lot of grief for a while. But then I come up with this. You got people make decisions. Now, there's people, children of the devil out there you can do nothing with. And then there's some that are just lost. And you got to figure, it won't take you long to figure out who's who, because if a person's teachable, they're asking a question, they've got a humble spirit. And I don't know. We got to get back to basics. And you made a really good point on that, Jason. We just got to get back to basics. And we know the story, but I Colonel Moore said we go right to identifying the thing, and they're not ready for that. But that we've all lived this. How exciting it is that once you get to know it, I mean, man, it fixed a lot of things. So,
well, and that's what I was, and I think that we need to continue to remember to be teachable too, and that's one of the things that I appreciated about this young man. Oh well, I guess we'll go to the phone lines. Looks like Warren's calling in. Good morning, Warren.
Yeah, I just called in a prayer request. You're talking, about the men of our nation. It says in Deuteronomy 23, it says that he that is wounded in the stones or that his privacy member cut off shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. And verse 2, it says, a pastor shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord, even to his 10th generation. He shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord. And the Lord is a great healer. He heals us physically and spiritually. We need that spiritual healing of the men here in America, and that that cursed generation or 10 generations that it talked about there, that the Lord put an end to that curse for 10 generations. We know he can do it.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, that's my prayer, that our men get their private back. And
yes, sir. We need to be praying that. I appreciate the call. Thanks for calling, Warren.
Okay,
bye. You have a good day. And, we do need to be praying for men. And, that's one thing that this ministry has continued to do, to pray for, for God to raise up good, godly Christian men, and for, also for the women, for us to have good, godly Christian women. We need both of them. And, praise God, I hope and pray that we get them. I got a text and it says the modern Christian church looks nothing like the life and ministry of Christ or the men he chose to find the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It does look like the world, which is the opposite of what we are commanded to be like. Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Well, and I think that you're back to that definition of terms and the simplicity of who and what we are and who we serve. And I was reading an article earlier, and they were talking about U.S. debt being up, like half a trillion in 3 weeks. And it said the headline was U.S. debt up a half a trillion. And I was like, us debt up a half. No, it's not us. It's them. I'm sorry. I'm outside that whole thing. God doesn't have any debt. I mean, and when you start reading it, looking at them and us, which is a biblical term, you start to see some of those anomalies in there that they want to put out all the time to include God's people in that curse or in that thing. And it's like, well, us and them, yeah, that's really interesting because God just doesn't, he doesn't play that game. And then one of the things they were saying was, they're trying to bankrupt the country deliberately. I got news for you. It's been bankrupted since way before I was born. It hasn't. They talk about all this stuff that they're spending, this money that they're throwing around and everything that them are throwing around. It's like, I don't know. That's not real. It's not godly money. It's not. It's like, well, whatever, God, you take care of it because it makes no sense to me. So it's like, man, that's my attitude. Yeah.
Derek sent me a note from Canada, and it says, on your note of the election, yes, sir, God is in control 100%. Daniel 2:21 says, and he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Praise the Lord. Amen. Good scripture. Well, and you know, and that's one of the things, that's what I was talking about earlier, and we'll take a step back, but I was talking with this young man, and I call him young. He's not a young man, but younger than I am, and I was talking with him, and he was telling me about some training and some stuff that he was going through, and he was, you know, sharing with me some things that he had learned. And he's like, well, I don't know if you're interested in this or not. And I said, I told him, I said, absolutely. I said, I'm willing to learn. I said, you know, and I said, you know, teach me what you have to teach me. And, you know, he took a step back and looked at me, and he said, you know, he said, well, I'm willing to learn too. And he's like, it looks like you got a lot of stuff that you can teach me, and I want to learn too. And I tell you what, when you run across somebody that has a thirst for knowledge and they want to learn, that is, you know, that is a blessing. And, you know, it's rare in this, world that we're living in today to see somebody that, wants to learn, because, you know, this generation of younger people that's coming up is, you know, they're the know-it-alls, you know, for the most part. And I don't want to put everybody into that group, and I think that's one of the mistakes that we make. But, you know, the people that I've dealt with in that age bracket, for the most part, it's like they don't have anything to learn because they've got it all figured out, so they think.
Well, people talk about kids today. I say, yeah, look who raised them. You know, that's where we're two and three generations into this mess. And actually, there's some really good kids that are coming out of this that they looked at. You know, I've got grandsons that went through a divorce, and it's made them better people. They're just good people, and I'm proud of them. But they're thinking that they even know scripture. People try to get them to go to church. No, they're not going, but they know Bible. I baptized their dad, which is my ex-son-in-law, but there's some really good kids coming out, and there's going to be somebody replace them. It's just like you pull your finger out of that glass of water. There's something going to replace it, and there's a big thing going on, just like Tim said. It's coming. Get ready for it. And like you said, we have to be teachable, too, because we're never done learning. But it is so key to meet a person where they're at rather than where you're at.
I agree.
Well, and it makes our life a lot easier, too, because if they're over there and you're over here, you know, I think that's where that don't hide your life under a bushel goes to. I mean, it's like, you know, a lot of us have, we're talk happy, you know. We just, let me tell you all about it. And it's like, okay, but then God says it's in the fruit, and there's a lot of times when your opportunity, you never really stop sharing your witness. You never stop showing how God does things. I mean, I'm not saying it's perfect on how we do it, but, you know, the do you live it? I mean, if you carry on in that manner, you're going to see there's always people looking, you know. There's always people noticing, so it's about how you live and how you and we present Christ daily, or we crucify him daily. I mean, just depending on how we conduct ourselves and how we live and what we do, you know, that goes on all the time. So, you know, there's, I think that goes along with just how we bring people in to see what the kingdom's all about.
Yeah, you notice that.
Right.
Right. He certainly works through us. You know, if, like you said, Tim, a lot of time it's our actions. If we're, you know, if we're willing to listen, if we're, you know, there when people are in need, if we're living true Christianity that is different than, you know, churchgoers, than Judeo-Christianity, that it's different than the picture that's painted for them. And I think they're beginning to see that contrast. I really do. You know, there's groups out there that are like for the fathers that are pushing and praying for fathers and trying to, you know, even be foster fathers for inner city kids and you know, trying to get that biblical concept of fatherhood, of the family, you know, back into the minds of the people. There's groups out there that are pushing for that. Now, you certainly aren't going to see that on CNN or MSNBC, but there are, and that's a good thing. And it's again part of the people waking up, part of the people saying, you know, this is not worked. And I saw with all this mess in Western North Carolina, I saw a group, I think it was Christian Guardians. It was on their T-shirts, and they're a group of mainly veterans, I think, that volunteer to go into disaster areas and work with the locals and just provide security because it's needed. You know, most of the time it is needed. And so it was a group I'd never heard of, not promoting them. I don't know anything about them. I just saw the guys with their T-shirts but there's little groups like that all around. And I hope there's just a little bit more common sense coming back, you know, in people looking for the answers, you know, looking for the answers in hope in this world and, just in what's right and what's wrong. You know, I'm hearing some stuff out of Florida that there was just almost no looting after this last hurricane. But you know, you had the governor pushing and promoting, saying, listen, if you come in and cause problems for the people of Florida, we will chase you down. We will arrest you. We'll do all this stuff. And, sheriffs saying the same thing. And,
well, they had sheriffs out there that were saying, you know, you loot, you know, be prepared to die, because I want people being armed, and you know, we ain't got time to deal with these dang looters. Just shoot the bastards.
That's right. You do look up Sheriff JD Grudd, Grudd, in Polk County, Florida. That's where I'm from. And let me tell you something: the law abiding people down there, they love him because that's what he says. You know, he says, listen, you have a right to your property to protect yourself. If somebody breaks in, you shoot them. Make them, his quote was, make them look like grated cheese. Boy, the media ate that up. but it's sincere. And the people love it. And you know what? Very little looting this year. Very little. And
people will, I know there's people, I've seen some stuff where there's some quite a bit of mockery and stuff about that, but you think about it. I mean, if you're going into an area where they're stopping crime like that, and that is the way to stop crime, is if you have people getting shot when they were breaking into houses, when they were stealing, when they were looting, when they're going in, you know, taking advantage of a bad situation, trying to steal everything that they can. And they started getting shot, and you started dragging the bodies down next to the road and piling them up, you know, and, you know, waiting for the meat wagon to come pick them up. It would stop a lot of crime.
It is a great deterrent. Yeah. You know, public hangings. I mean, it's been over 100 years since we've had public hangings in this land, but, you know, Pastor taught on that. I remember we showed pictures at church. He had us put some up, and he talked about that because it's a great deterrent. It's part of train up your child in the way he should go, and you let him know. You know, when little 10-year-old Billy's there, and he sees that murderer or that pedophile or that kidnapper hung, and they see his eyeballs pop out and his bowels loose and all that. It's a great deterrent. Now you see that, Billy? That's, you know, God says you don't do the things he did, and he did, and that's what happens. And it's a great deterrent. It works. It works. That's why when you look at the nation, the places that have the highest crime have the highest gun control. Washington, D.C., Detroit, California, places like that. Your big cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul, it had the highest gun control, the highest gun, what do you call it, restrictions, and they have the highest crime. And then you have the places that don't, and their crime is lower because it's a great deterrent. And anyway, it just all this from, you know, it's just common sense. Certainly it's biblical, but it seems like that's the way it's shifting a little bit, that people are waking up to it and saying, hey, wait a minute, this is, you know, this is a little, you know, this is what we got to do. And, you know, along those same lines, we mentioned it a couple weeks ago, there's a, not to push women's sports, but women's college volleyball. San Jose State has a transgender player that spikes the ball at 80 miles an hour, knocks women out when he spikes it and hits them in the head. And that's happened. And you're having team after team after team, Boise, Utah State, Wyoming, University of Wyoming, even refused to play him, took a forfeit instead of playing him. And that's continuing. And there's even people on that team that has that transgender that are supporting the other teams for not playing against them. See, they're forced. If they want to play volleyball, well, they make a choice. But if they, you know, they've gone to college to play volleyball on scholarship, and they're doing that. And we know some young, you know, young women that either have done or can or would do that. And they're forced to play with this male, this cheater. But they're even supporting the other teams. So, again, it's a bit of common sense, I think, that's coming back that people are saying, hey, wait a minute, this is wrong. This is wrong. And it's right and wrong based on that law written on their heart, that new covenant that they're in. And whether they know that or not, well, there's an opportunity for us to put that two and two together for them, if they'll ask, if they'll listen.
I think it's amazing how fast the truth takes over. You know, just like I told that lady about the $3 bill, where's you? She said, well, I got two in my family. She was irate, but I'll tell you what, in a really short time, well, my last words was, well, it's wrong. My last words to her was that. In a very short time, she came around where she was not hostile to me. See, the truth just changes everything. And, you know, we've got the truth. The Bible's the truth. And it's like Tim said, it's coming. Get ready. And see, ain't not that we're so smart. We just have to be willing to take time to talk to that person and help them to grow. It's coming. Get ready. You know, we've had some tremendous biblical teaching. Well, now we got to apply it in a real life world. You know, Pastor Peters was talking to us for the most part because most everybody else wasn't listening. But we've got a ground. The truth is the Word of God. It is a sword, it's called, and it changes everything. You know, like these. I watch these politicians run these advertisements. The big thing here is abortion, and these women are all for this abortion, you know, just, we got to have our rights and stuff like that. Well, the thing of it is, the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. But see, they're not even thinking that far. They're just thinking about their own thing. And then there's a lot of people in the state of Michigan that are totally against abortion. And it's, you know, but they're trying to hold on to that. But any woman worth her salt, as I used to say, would rather die than let her child die. I mean, that's this bunch of crap that these people, these feminist bitches that are out there. But the trouble is, most men are feminists. You know, that steeple house I was raised in, you know, I had that while I was a deacon. I said, I'll never go back in that room. And then I got these kids, and I figured out what their problem was. They didn't have a dad in the house. And they're, you know, good church-going people, you know, but they were so empty, it was pathetic. But the women got the job of raising those kids. They didn't want it, but they got it, and they did it. And when you get a ticked-off woman, you got a problem.
It's kind of interesting, Paul, because this kind of goes right along with that, but I had a guy stop in just the other day, and we were talking. He's growing, like what we're talking about, and he was like, well, I don't understand what you see Old Testament is. And I said, well, you ought to read it before you. I said, have you read it? No. I said, well, you can't really talk about something you don't know anything about. So, you know, and so anyways, then he stops in here. Well, this has been a week or two ago, but he was like, you know, there's some things in there that are really hard. I me harsh. And I said, oh, such as? He said, well, you know, there's one thing, there's one in there that says, you know, if you have a disobedient child, just take him out there and stone him. And I said, oh, yeah. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. How many of them do you think they stoned, you know? And he was like, what? I said, yeah. I said, is there any examples of them taking those children out and stoning them at the gate for being disobedient and you know, intractable and disobedient? Well, no, I didn't see any of those. And I said, mm-hmm. I said, what that was about was trying to teach you how far you need to go to make sure that your child is obedient, disciplined, and a good person. You know, that's what it's about. It's like, how far do we go? All the way. That's how far we go. That's how far God goes. I mean, make no mistake about it. You can do it. And it's just like this thing that's coming. You can do it God's way, or you won't do it at all. I mean, it's there, and it will happen. But if you do it God's way, you're protected. You know, I mean, that's the thing. So it's free choice. You're free to choose whichever one you want. Free choices. When you have no choices, way, you know, you're defined as then you don't have free choice. But as long as you have options, you can choose. Choose you this day who you'll serve. He doesn't say, plan A or plan B. I mean, you can. There's a whole bunch of choices there. There's wrong choices, but there's still choices.
Amen. Amen. You know, I never understood in Titus 2, when it talks about in Titus 2, the older women to teach the younger women to love their husbands. I never understood that scripture, but I understand it today because, you know, I think it ties in with because of lawlessness, the heart of man and woman has grown cold. And it's just what you're saying, Paul. You know, the women we know, yeah, they would fight. They're mama bear grizzly. You come after their children. Hell hath no fury. But for so many in our land, they believe the lie. They haven't been taught the truth. And it's needed for the older women, the older Christian women to teach the younger Christian women, how to be. And it lists a whole litany of things there, you know, how to be reverent and obedient and proper before God. But it mentions to love their husbands because that love has grown cold as well. We see it is a mess out there, but I like what you guys have said. It's coming. Guess what? It's coming. That reset is coming. You know, there's more and more that are realizing that lifestyle out there of just, the playboy or the playgirl, it just leads to death and destruction and sadness and all types of ungodly things. The stories of, Paul, you mentioned abortion, the stories of the women that have gone through that, of children that have survived it, are out there. The truth is out there for people to see, you know, and maybe before they didn't know. Maybe they, you know, they believed the lie. When you believe the lie, when you're deceived, we've talked about that, you don't know you're deceived. And there's so many in the land today that are deceived, but boy, they're seeing it now. They are. They're waking up to, to that lie of that killing a baby is women's health care. No. See, that good is called evil. Evil is called good. And it's like slap them and wake them up. Try to anyway. And I think God's doing that. That many are seeing that, and realizing, wait a minute, this is not what we've been taught. It's not right. And the good thing is, if they'll wake up to that in the physical, hopefully they'll wake up to Christ's call and true Christianity in the spiritual as well.
That woman has the same problem with her husband that I have with Jesus. It's called submission. That book, Fascinating Womanhood, I read it cover to cover, and it's for women by woman. But it just, You know, there was a lady came out of Canada to me, and I bought her one, and she come back a few years later. She says it worked. You know, but you know, it's just an unbelievable difference how it works. If I got a cow on a pasture, the harder I push it, the farther it's going to run. But when I turn put feed out, they come running. You know what I mean? The thing of it is bitching and complaining and stuff just drives a man away. But if you just live your life and be submissive to him, he comes around like so fast it's hard to believe. But that's the same problem I have with submitting to God's ways. Was that my rebellious nature that I was born with, and when I gave that up and gave it to him, it's a different world. And that's the same with a woman. It's you submit to your husband, you know, even as a jackass, you know, do it, read that book, because it just brings him around like it does you. It's just everything is backwards in this day and age.
Amen. It is. I mean, time and time again, I mean, you know, I think is what we're talking about is, you know, okay, we're going to believe our Bibles. It says this, and, you know, and I think it's that simple is, you know, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, repent, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and heal their land. And, you know, right now that's what we're talking about is repentance, turning away from, you know, our rebellious ways.
You know, earlier we were talking about, and in Micah chapter 7, verse 5, it says, trust ye not any friend, put ye no confidence in a guide. Keep your doors of your mouth from the her that lieth on your bosom. For the son of dishonor honoreth his father and a daughter. It goes on and on, but the thing of it is, there's a tremendous... be careful who you talk to and what you talk about, you know, because... If they're not interested, you know, I guess don't waste your time is what it amounts to. And you got to be on the defensive.
Yeah, last week we had a message by Pastor Peters, and it was entitled Duty, Honor, and Discipline. And just fantastic message. And it talked about the importance of these things, you know. And, you know, we need to discipline ourselves in these, you know, Christian practices and, you know, practice what the Bible preaches.
Well, you read that book of Vance, you know, he lived in poverty in eastern Kentucky in the coal mines and stuff like that, just a mess of a life that he had like that. But he went in the Marines, and he got disciplined, and he came out, he's a different person. Now, I know a farmer here has had a rough neighbor, you know, childhood, too, and he went in the Marine to straighten him out, and he just gave him a direction. That's what discipline does. You discipline your children. You know, you discipline them. The first thing, if you love your dog and your child, you teach them to sit. And they obey, you know, and then because you can't protect a woman, a kid, or a dog if they won't listen. They're on their own, man. They're a loose balloon. So and discipline is everything. And I didn't have a whole lot of discipline either, but I just figured out. When I got lost in my church, I didn't have nowhere to turn. I had nobody ask like that. And finally, like the Bible says, a man could go no higher than his teacher. So I said, okay, God, you teach me. And I put the Bible on the desk and let it fall, and I'd read it there. And that's how I got to where I am, because I went to the highest authority there is, because man is, you know, Pastor Peter had his shortcomings and stuff, not many, because he had a spine on him, and that was great. And that's what we lack today is men with spine.
One of the things that I've really been enjoying watching recently and is and I've been watching it for quite some time, but it's these Charlie Kirk videos where he's going around to these college campuses and he's setting up and interviewing these students. And one of the things that, you know, he does, and he does a really good job at it, and he's just a fantastic debater, but and he's a very intelligent person and comes at it from a Christian perspective, but he asks questions, and he's, you know, why do you think this, and why do you think that, and why do you believe that, you know, abortion should be legal, why do you believe that it's should be legal to, you know, tear the flesh out of somebody, why do you believe that they don't have all the rights that you're fighting for when they're inside a woman's body, and the debates are just fantastic, and he just has he's gifted at asking questions and, you know, challenging these people. And what I've noticed is You know, they always send people with that they think that they've got, you know, good answers and or can answer his questions and this and that. And recently it's been interesting because, you know, there's been a lot of them that are just, you know, he's getting them to think. He's getting them to think by asking him questions. And I've seen a lot of them recently where these people are just stumped. And it's like, you know what, I got to stop and think about that. I got to think about that. And, you know, when you got a whole crowd and it's, you know, recorded and put on YouTube and stuff, I mean, it has a very strong effect. And is what I've noticed is, you know, he's changing people's minds on things. And I think he's doing a fantastic job. And that's just one, you know, one person out there doing one thing. But I really do have an appreciation for it because it's really good information.
Well, when you ask somebody a question, you put the burden of proof back on them. You get absolutely nowhere arguing, but you ask a question, you know, and you say, you look what Jesus said. He just about never answered anybody. He always asked a question. When they crucified him, he says, "You're the King of the Jews." He said, "Well, who do you say that I am?" Well, see, they had to think about that. He wasn't going to argue with them or stuff like that. But what you're doing, even in court today, you put the burden of proof back on them, make them prove it. And that's what question does, and it's powerful to ask a question like that, and that just makes all the sense in the world.
It is, yeah, and that's what I was thinking about is, you know, that our teacher, that's what he did is ask the questions. Why do you say this? Why do you say that? Why do you think this? Why do you believe that?
You know, you think you know Pastor Peters, but I'll tell you, when he was in that pulpit, he's a different guy. When you knew him in person, he was always asking questions. He always wanted to know what you thought, you know, and that's what perfected him, you know, because he had people that would correct him now and then and stuff like that. I mean, he was very, very teachable. When you listen to his sermons, you might not know that, but when you knew him in person, he was very teachable, and he was hungry.
Amen, I agree.
He was fun, too.
Yeah. Show of hands. Who has nobody? Nobody wants to raise their hand? Yeah.
No, it's I don't know how we got off on what we got off on, but I guess it was the Lord's leading. There's a lot of stuff that's going on in the world, that's for sure. Israel requesting more missiles and us sending more troops over there. And, you know, a lot of people are saying that that's just, you know, continuing to heat up over there. And it sure looks like it from what I've seen, too. It's, you know, this last, this Thad missile, is a, THAAD anti-ballistic missile system. I think that they each hold like 48 incoming missiles. We've got one of them over there with 100 troops, and they're requesting another one to be sent over there. And I mean, you just look at some of this stuff. I mean, it's like Israel's just requesting this and they were requesting that. And it's like, I mean, how nice would it be just be like, hey guys over there, why don't you guys send this over here? You know, we could use that. We can use this. We can use that. And that's basically what they're doing with a lot of these different countries. And then we've got, Zelensky over there, and the U.S. officials for Ukraine, they're saying, okay, we either need to, you know, get Ukraine part of NATO, or they need to be acquiring nuclear weapons. And it's like, okay, I mean, how is that going to go with if Ukraine had nuclear weapons? How do people think that that's going to play out? I mean, you talk about insanity. It's just a mad, mad world out there right now.
It absolutely is. It's the thief. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And the thief is those bullies that are running those countries. That's what they want. They want to steal, kill, and destroy. And they'll keep doing it as long as they're allowed.
Well, I see these people running for office. They're going to keep the drug prices low and keep Social Security in place and all stuff like that. And they ain't in control of nothing. The international banker is pulling all the strings, and he says, you know, like Rothschild said, I don't care what they put in power. Who controls the money controls the country. Well, you know, if you read that book, that Everything They Told Is a Lie, when George Washington had a problem very similar to the way we eat, lawlessness and insanity and stuff like that. And the way he fixed it with gold and silver money. And the thing straightened right out so fast they couldn't hardly believe it. See, when this paper money that they are able to issue and then they hold it in front of your nose like it's national debt, it came out of nowhere. So you actually owe nothing. But it's insanity. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they reject knowledge. Don't forget that.
Yes. Yeah, they chose wrong. Go
ahead. Well, we've only got a couple minutes left. Let's have some closing comments there, gentlemen.
Well, you were talking about that pistol. You know, that pistol was called a peacekeeper. You know, you got to have self-defense. You don't go up against a guy, you know, he's armed. And, you know, they just trying to disarm her and wherever they do with his crime. So it is a peacekeeper, self-defense.
Tim?
Well, you know, when God helps, it's real help. Whenever they help, it's just a word. It's just damage, destruction, and tyranny. And you can do it God's way and win, or you can do it any other way and lose. But that's the call out. I mean, it is, I know whom I have served and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. So you got choices.
Amen. And I want to close out with Psalms 83, encouraging people to pray right now, Psalms 91 and Psalms 83. And dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we put on that full armor of God, having done everything to stand firm. And we gird our loins with truth. We put on the breastplate of righteousness and we shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We pray, Father, that you deliver us from the conspiracies of men, the schemes of the devil, the power of the dog, and all the forces that are coming against us in all ways, shapes, and forms. Lord, we recognize that we're living in exciting times. We're living in difficult times and different times and exciting times. And Lord, we know that you're our God and we are your people. And we just cry out to you for you to save America, this land, once again. We pray, Father, that you do it however you see fit. We do continue to pray and ask that you raise up godly leaders in this country once again. We pray that you raise up men and women of God that fear you and put you first in their lives. We humbly ask for these things. We turn away from our wicked ways. We seek your face and we seek your ways. And Lord, now we pray a Psalm of David. God, do not remain quiet. Do not be silent. And O God, do not be still. For behold, your enemies make an uproar, and those who hate you have exalted themselves. They make shrewd plans against your people and conspire together against your treasured ones. They have said, come and let us wipe them out as a nation, so that the name of Israel will be no longer remembered. For they have conspired together with one mind. They make a covenant against you, the tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagarites, Gabel, Ammon and Amalek, Philistia and the inhabitants of Tyre. Assyria also has joined with them. They have become a help to the children of Lot. Deal with them as with Midian and with Sisera, Jabin, at the river of the Kishon, who were destroyed at Endor, who became like the dung of the ground. Make their nobles like Orb and Zeb, and all their leaders like Zeba and Zalmunna, who have said, let us possess for ourselves the pasture of God. My God, make them like the whirling dust, like the chaff before the wind, like the fire that burns the forest and the flame that sets the mountains on fire. So pursue them with your heavenly gale and terrify them with your storm. Fill their faces with dishonor so that they will seek your name. Lord, may they be ashamed and dismayed forever, and may they be humiliated and perish, so that they will know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And we'll be back next week. Join us for church tomorrow by going to scriptursforamerica.org.
100 years we have fainted from the fight for his liberty and life. We've been blinded by the lies, so we hardly know what's right from wrong. As the anti-Christian hordes and their global overlords now surround us, holy saints in the camp United States, just like Israel of old, we now find ourselves in Babylon. So now's the time for all good men to seek his face on high, and bow to do his will on earth, and rise up and defy the lie, and cry this battle cry. No king, no king, no king but King Jesus, the Messiah. No king, no king, no king.
but King Jesus, the Holy One of Israel, the Holy One of Israel. So now's the time for all good men to seek His face on high, and bow to do His will on earth, and rise up and defy the lie, and Christ's battle cry.